Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Here we are, folks, FST on a Saturday morning. Thanks for joining us on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I will stumble right out of the gate there. So a little bit of a new configuration of this show moving forward. Dan Stratford, still with the network, but moving on and focusing on other shows. But I'm now joined by the guy that filled in last week. It's going to be a little bit more of a permanent situation. And permanent here generally means for the next little while. And it was myself and Joe Galina. And I'm excited about it. Joe and I got a chance to work together very briefly in the past. And then last week, we thought it went well. Schedules aligned and the stars aligned. And now Joe is going to be joining me. So I'm excited, Joe. And I'm happy to have you here with me every Saturday.
Yeah, I enjoyed working with you, like you said, the last week, I think it was, or 2 weeks ago. Yeah. And, yeah, just looking forward to hanging out with you, talking baseball, football, whatever, you know, fantasy betting, whatever you want to talk about. Love being here.
Yeah, cool. So, you know, we'll kick it off. We're going to have Emory Hunt on this show. He'll be coming on in the second hour, about 9:20, so a little over an hour from now. We'll talk NFL draft. I did an NFL draft show with our College Football Today guys on Thursday. We filmed it, and you're going to see it really released in video form all through next week. We did individual clips on the players that we drafted in our own mock draft and then broke down positional stuff like quarterbacks and running backs and wide receivers. I think you'll find it pretty riveting. You know, that NFL draft, Joe, is only now 12 days away in Nashville, so it's really heating up, and I think it's going to start to consume people here in these next this next week and a half.
Absolutely. I mean, football has done a great job of keeping themselves relevant all year long, and you know, we've been talking about the draft you know, for seems like, you know, for the past several weeks, right? And,
yeah,
you know,
no
there's you know, lots of movement here. And all of a sudden, you know, Dwayne Haskins seems to be moving down a little bit. And so we'll, good to talk to Emory Hunt. He really knows his stuff. And
absolutely,
I look forward to watching your coverage. I mean, you guys, Speeds and Emory and the gang did a great job last year covering.
Yeah, yeah, it was a lot of
draft
fun.
Looking forward to seeing that again this year.
Yeah, it's pretty wild tonight because – where we do the show, excuse me, Studio 34 in Midtown Manhattan, where we often do a lot of these shows. Joe and I happen to be doing the shows remotely today, but where we do a lot of those shows and film those shows, that same place, it's to give everybody a sense, that studio is located inside of a restaurant, mm-hmm. and the studio has a fishbowl effect, so it looks out onto this restaurant. It was formerly a sports bar. It is no longer that, but it's still configured the same way. And they have been hosting a party there, a private party there. And there's been players there. We had Sterling Shepard on air last year. We had Leonard Williams on air the year before. So it's been a lot of fun because there's a big crowd there kind of looking in at the fishbowl. It gets a little... it really ramps up the energy of the show. So from that standpoint, it's a lot of fun. So we will definitely talk NFL draft and some other NFL stories in the second hour. But we'll really focus here to kick off the show in Major League Baseball. And I guess the first story that people will want to hear about is Eloy Jimenez. So Eloy Jimenez hits his first two homers of his career at Yankee Stadium last night, and the White Sox take out the Yankees 9-6. It was rain shortened, only seven innings, But the White Sox have these young players, Moncada and Jimenez, and it's these are the guys that are going to be pacing the team for a while.
Yeah, and Moncada has been playing better this year. He's had an issue in the past, lots of strikeouts. Top prospect, originally, I believe, with the Red Sox. I think he was a Cuban, played in the Cuban league.
That's right.
Eloy Jimenez, I mean, a lot of people talk about Vlad Guerrero, and he's going to be a great player. But if I was in a dynasty league, I think I'd rather have Jimenez over Guerrero. And just when you look at, you don't want to get personal here, but you look at Guerrero's body type, and to me, he looks like he might eventually turn into maybe a DH, a tremendous hitting DH, but Eloy Jimenez, seems to have, all the tools, and,
Vlad Jr.
hit his first,
Vlad Jr. hit an absolute bomb a couple of days ago, and I think you probably saw it on SportsCenter, and it made the rounds on the internet. But to Joe's point, nobody's picking on him, but he's a little pudgy. he's not in great shape. It doesn't mean there haven't been pudgy baseball players that have been really good. You can throw out Kirby Puckett and Tony Gwynn at points during their career. Didn't
great
look
examples.
Like they were in the best of shape. So maybe he's those guys. But anyway, Jimenez, it was interesting that Jimenez got this big contract extension well before they needed to do anything, but they obviously feel that giving that kind of extension can lock him in for a longer period of time. They don't have to go to arbitration. They don't have to worry about it. He's locked in for 6 years at $46 million. I think you're going to see more of those types of contracts to appease players and not have to worry about the arbitration process, particularly if they feel like this number three prospect in all of baseball is going to be a guy that produces. And obviously he produces out of the gate last night with the couple of homers. So three hits, four runs, two runs scored in his four at-bats, and he gets to three ribbies on the two homers. So what were your thoughts about Moncada going into the season? Because you and I – Well, let's first we'll do Jimenez, and then we'll talk about Moncada. So Jimenez, did you have expectations for him as a rookie to come in and produce right away?
I thought that by the end of the season, he had potential to be a Rookie of the Year candidate. Of course, Guerrero's there as well. And I was unfortunate I didn't get any shares of him, but based on where he was going in drafts, it seemed like he was going maybe seventh, eighth, ninth round of drafts, as compared to Guerrero, who was going, sometimes fourth round, as early as fourth round. He was the guy, fantasy-wise, that I would have targeted more. I mean, when I draft teams in the preseason, Mike, I try not to draft too many rookie players. Pretty much they're hit or miss, right? And lately we've seen a lot of these rookies come out of the gate strong, but it is a risk. So, you don't want to create a roster full of these guys, but, I did expect and do expect Jimenez to have a good season.
Yeah, he's got 11 hits in his last six games, so he's really heated up. Basically this week he got started over the last 7 days. He's really heated up and caught fire. So Jimenez, his first two homers of the entire season, they both come at the expense of the Yankees last night. As far as the rest of that game, Moncada, he goes 1-for-4. He scores a run. Abreu, 1-for-3. Runs scored. Yonder Alonso, 2-for-4. Three RBIs there. He hits a home run. And this is all mostly at the expense of Jay Happ. So four innings pitched last night, 9 hits, 6 earned. A couple of walks as well. So he just falls to 0-2 on the season. Jay Happ out of the gate very slowly. Not something the Yankees needed. They've got a million injuries. Sanchez on the deal. We'll get to the injuries later, and the Yankees are going to be a big part of it. But Jay Happ slow out of the gate here for the Yanks.
Yeah, and it's, still very early and a little surprising based on the way he finished the season last year. Some guys come to the Yankees and, it's the if you're old enough to remember the Ed Whitson effect where,
of course,
they have success in small markets. And then when they come to New York, the bright lights, it seems, put a lot of pressure on them and they can't perform. So, you know, when you look at Haps' long-term production over the years, you know, he's basically a solid pitcher, you know, middle of the rotation kind of guy.
Did you think it was a good signing when they brought him back?
Yes. You know, of course, the Yanks tried to get an ace, and basically, you know, they got close to what I consider an ace in Paxton, even though he's had his issues as well. But you need these guys that'll give you the 200 innings, and you know, let's say he might not pitch to a high 2 or low 3 ERA, but with what we expected to get out of the Yankees offense this season, you know, before all these injuries, came about, you know, you thought that he would have a good chance of winning a bunch of games and keeping the Yanks close in, you know, in their games.
Yeah, he signed the 2-year, $34 million deal. There's a vesting option in that third year, but he's going to have a tough time getting to that vesting option if he can't get to the fifth inning, which he has not been able to do in the first three starts this season. So Giolito gets the win on the other side of the ledger, but he goes 5 innings, 6 runs, only 4 earned. He picks up the win in the rain-shortened game. Brett Gardner hit a home run for the Yankees. DJ LeMahieu goes 2-for-2 with 2 RBIs as well for the Yankees. LeMahieu is becoming that Swiss Army knife that a lot of teams need, and he's really filling in for the Yankees in a significant way. Obviously, Torres is over at short. LeMahieu coming in, and I feel like he's going to be a bigger part of the team than they probably wanted him to be, but they knew they might need.
Yeah, when they first signed him, you know, I think he's I thought of him as a very good player. I mean, hits for average and, you know, does a few other things, but you kind of were like, well, you know, you kind of questioned the move. I know that DD was going to be out for a while, but thank God they did, right?
Yeah, 4:30.
Yeah. And like you said, Swiss Army knife, able to play a few different positions. And when you look at all the injuries the Yankees have had to deal with, I mean, you know, with not only DD, but Andujar, and, you know, I was listening to Michael Kay on the Yankee pregame, and he was talking about how, you know, surgery is still an option for Miguel Andujar. So, I mean, look, the Yankees are going to have a tough time getting past all these injuries.
And Betances, bad news with both Betances and
Severino.
I'm blanking.
Luis Severino, right?
I don't know how that happened. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Severino.
It happens to me, too.
Yeah. So, full disclosure, I went to a concert last night. We're going to talk about that in the next segment. I went to see Billy Joel last night, so we'll get into the details of that at the top of the next segment. But Severino, Betances, looks like bad news on both of those guys. Severino shut down for 6 weeks. Betances, they're not really loving his progress right now. So this is all with the backdrop of Gary Sanchez going on the injured list this week. Mm-hmm. He's another guy that I think Gary Sanchez is going to be a source of frustration for Yankees fans for a long time.
Already is.
even for a long time. And I think he obviously already is. And I think that even I just think he's gotten to the point now where he's going to have a hard time making it back in the good graces of some fans. Now, I've been critical of him. I think he has not shown himself. We were just talking about Vlad Guerrero. I think he's shown himself not to be in particularly good shape. He's had multiple injuries. He's a catcher, and if there's one, I mean, everybody needs to be in impeccable shape, but if there's one position where you have to try your best to be in the best shape possible, it's catcher, because it's a brutal physical position. You're not going to be expected to play every single day. He's unique in that they really want him in the lineup so he can even DH when he's taking days off from catching. But yet another injury for him, and a lot of still these boneheaded plays remain when he is on the field.
Yeah, I haven't been happy with his handling of the Yankees pitching staff over the course of his short career. You know, just watching him play every day, sometimes you questioned, you know, his approach. Like, sometimes, you know, just to simply say, "Hey, what the heck are you swinging at? Swing at some stuff at the strike zone." And simple plays, you know, the pass balls, you know, and you hate to say it, but just, you know, from the outside, it looks like it's a lazy kind of approach to the game. And he's another guy that could eventually, I think you alluded to it with the Guerrero-Sanchez comparison, could end up being, you know, a DH down the road.
Yeah. So Lory Garcia, by the way, goes 2-for-4 last night. An unexpected hot start for him. He's 2-for-4, 2 ribbies last night. He's hitting .341 on the season. Sox are not off to a good start. They're 4-8, but they've got a few guys that are producing, like Moncada, like Jimenez and Garcia. So the way this team is built, there's obviously a lot of young players. They went after Machado, didn't get him, but a lot of young players here. And while this may not be the year that they break through as a team, they are maybe starting to see some bright spots from this young roster.
Yeah, even Tim Anderson's been swinging a hot bat, batting over 400.
That's right. That's right,
2020 potential. Yeah, so you're right. I think things are looking up. I think that the White Sox really were surprised in a way that they were rebuffed by Machado. I mean, you know, they got his brother-in-law on the team, his buddy on the team. They were offering him some bucks. I think that threw them for a loop a little bit, but better days are ahead for them.
Yeah. I think it's unclear exactly how good their offer was compared to maybe what the Padres' offer was, but we'll talk about Manny Machado on the other side because he made a ridiculous defensive play last night that hit every highlight reel across the internet and on TV. So it's Mike and Joe on FST, the new team for your Saturday morning. We'll be right back. We'll talk about me and concerts.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Good stuff out of Sean Engel producing. A little Billy Joel to get you started on this Saturday morning. And I went to see Billy Joel last night. So it was good times yesterday. We had I took my wife. We bought these tickets a few months ago. To those of you that don't know, Billy Joel does a residency at Madison Square Garden. So our studio is right across the street from Madison Square Garden, and it's pretty easy access for my wife and I to get home. We live on Long Island. Easy for her to get in. We did a little dinner beforehand, had a nice meal. We have little kids, so we don't have a lot of peace and quiet in our lives, or we don't have as much alone time as you would like. So we had a fun night out. We don't get a lot of date nights. So we saw Billy Joel. I never saw him before, and neither did she. She's from Long Island originally, and it's sort of
a sacrilegious,
birthright.
Man.
I know. It's like a birthright. It's a rite of passage to becoming a true Long Islander, and she made it a few decades without going to see him. I don't know why, but anyway, we locked it down last night, and I could say this, like, we're rookies there. And there's clearly people in the building that have probably seen Billy Joel 100 times, literally. And people were really having a good time getting into it. It's a little different concert experience for me. I'll say this. I've been to a lot of concerts in my life, a lot. I have not been going since we've had kids. So really since we got married, we probably did a couple early on when we got married, but we basically had kids right after we got married. So I haven't been going to many. I saw Dave Matthews last year. And I saw Billy Joel tonight, but it's about a once a year thing, maybe twice. But I'll first ask you, Joe, do you go see a lot of concerts? Have you seen a lot of concerts in your life?
In my lifetime, I've seen a lot of concerts, but I don't get to go to as many as I'd like. Like you know, married man, kids. Now the kids are getting a little older, so that maybe I could, you know, make a return to that. But You know, I've seen Billy Joel a few times. Always puts on a great show.
Yeah, he does. He does. So it's clear, like, when you go to a concert. So it's different in this way. People were really mostly sitting down. Like, we had seats in the second deck, but pretty good viewing point, I thought. It's pretty cool. He's got, you know, he's playing the piano, and the part of the stage where the piano is rotates so he can play the whole crowd. So that was good. And people are into it. As the concert got going, people were standing up and dancing a little bit more and getting into it. People probably, you know, liquored up.
That always helps.
Having a few,
sure.
Having a few more drinks, getting loose. But it was a really good time. We had a lot of fun. So he played a lot of the classics, everything that you would suspect that he would play, scenes from an Italian restaurant, and let's see, what else? He didn't play It's Still Rock and Roll to Me.
Piano Man, I'm sure.
Piano Man, obviously, he played that. He's rocking the harmonica. But he played, he generally brings out a special guest or two, and he brought out what he said is the greatest piano player in the world. I don't know the guy. I don't know his name. He is an Asian gentleman. I think he is a famous Chinese piano player. Guy came out decked all out in a white suit, and he crushed it. Like, Billy Joel is an unbelievable piano player, right? But
yes,
he's getting up there in years. Maybe he doesn't have his fastball anymore. This guy has a fastball. And he came out of there, and he just played. They played like a medley of songs. It was a little bit of Billy Joel stuff, a little bit not, but they played like a dueling pianos kind of thing. It was cool. It just came out for, you know, 5 minutes or so. Everybody, you know, applauded, despite most of the people not knowing who he was, and that was cool. But the highlight of the show, the thing I will remember, is he starts playing New York State of Mind, and he's like, here comes my special guest, Tony Bennett.
Oh, my God.
It was crazy. Like, that is now, I don't purport to be some massive Tony Bennett fan, but when the hell am I going to go see Tony Bennett? I'm not going to do that. So to
I actually
have
did
that
see him
happen,
years ago.
Did you? Well, right. Yeah. So good. Yeah. Good for you. So I wouldn't think that he's playing that much now. So that's really the point. Like, yeah, I would, somebody gave me tickets to Tony Bennett concert, I would go see it because he's unbelievable, but I wouldn't really plan that out, right? I'm probably going to go see a Foo Fighters concert or whatever else. But boom, he comes out, New York State of Mind, and crushed it. You know, he
I could imagine
Tony Bennett is decked out in his suit.
I could almost hear
people,
it.
Yeah, people went nuts. They went absolutely bananas for it. And he's just so funny because he's so old school. Like, he finishes the one song, and then he goes around and he shakes the hand of every band member. Like, it's just a very, like, gentlemanly
thing. That's not surprising. It's just that,
you know what I mean? It's really cool that he did that. But, that was the thing that I'll remember. You know, Billy was really good, and he played a lot of his songs. But Tony Bennett coming out, like, I won't forget that one.
Yeah, like I said, I saw him years ago. Actually, truth be told, I took my parents and my wife to go see him. And my musical taste really varies from, you know, I mean, I've seen Frank Sinatra to Van Halen, you know, with, you know. So, I mean, but Billy Joel definitely always puts on a great show. And I saw him about a year and a half ago at the Garden, and it was Memorial Day weekend. And he did, you know, obviously a lot of different songs, but Goodnight Saigon with that We Will All Go Down Together. And it was, like I said, Memorial Day weekend, and he brought military people on stage with him. So it was really moving. And but do you have a favorite Billy Joel song? I mean, I know his catalog is tremendous, so it's tough.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't ever say that I'm a huge fan, but the guy has just put out so many songs, you can find a few that you like. And I think, for me, the reason why I maybe like Billy Joel a little bit more than, say, the average person or people that are of my age group, and frankly my normal musical tastes, I think my musical tastes vary as well, but I played piano growing up, so I played piano for like 8 years, so I think that's part of why I am attracted to some of his songs, and it's typically the ones that are piano heavy, right? So
right.
Scenes from an Italian Restaurant is one that I'm always sure. gonna like, because there's like pretty significant piano solos in that. So mm-hmm. He played that last night, and that was a home run for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a few, obviously, like you mentioned, like Down Easter Alexa, you know, Only the Good Die Young.
Yeah, he played that too.
Yeah. Did he come to a point where he offered the audience two different songs and played one based on their reaction to it?
No.
They did that a few times in the show I saw.
So maybe he, maybe that's optional from show to show. But he didn't do that last night, but still, overall, a good time. I always think it's good to kind of relay that stuff. It's interesting that our studio is right across the street from Madison Square Garden. So, you know, you're always seeing the marquee and Billy Joel sold out. So walking into the arena was pretty cool as well. I don't know why MSG can't get their stuff together with getting people in a little bit more quickly, but security and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Like, it was just a really slow going getting in there. They tell you to get there an hour beforehand, and I understand why now. Because it was really slow getting in there. I think they just have metal detectors at all these at every gate now, so it's kind of hard getting through.
Yeah,
anyway,
so nature that's of the wanted, beast today.
Yeah, exactly. I just wanted to relay personal anecdote.
Billy Joel, just one thing before we move on back to sports, but how many songs do you think, or what kind of music do you think we've missed out on since he kind of retired from putting out rock albums, right? He hasn't put out a rock album since, I think, 93, River of Dreams. And I was just reading up on him, and he was saying that, you know, he looks at some older musicians, and he says, I've seen artists on the treadmill putting out albums year after year, and the albums get worse and worse and less interesting. It's like, maybe you should stop. So, you know, it's a shame that we haven't seen new music from him, but he still got his voice, right? He sounded great, didn't he?
Somebody told me, in fact, Greg Sussman, our friend and producer and host here on the Sports Radio Network, he said, just be aware that he may not have it anymore voice-wise, that the backups will really chime in a lot. But I was actually pleasantly surprised that, now I'll say, towards the end of the show, they were picking him up. I think he just kind of lost it towards the end, but he played for 2 hours. I mean, it wasn't, you know, this wasn't like a 75-minute show. The guy plays for, it was probably over 2 hours, you know? So from that standpoint, I thought he was really good. You know, I'm going to Google how old he is right now. I would guess Billy Joel is probably pushing 70.
Yeah, I would agree. But yeah, I'd say upper 60s. Yeah. And he's still pushing out kids.
That's why he's still playing.
Yeah.
By the way, I was right on the money. Pushing 70 is the best way to do it. He'll be 70 in about 4 weeks. So, so there you go. I mean, for a guy to be doing, if you saw what he was doing last night, now he's physically, he's having a tough time. He's getting up from the piano and he's shaking hands with people, but, you know, he's not as spry as he once was. I get it. He's been through a lot. Some of it is self-induced, but I don't want to make this a negative thing. He put on a great show, and I had a lot of fun, and I hope my wife had a lot of fun too. So there you go. That's it. Billy Joel. I'll always update you guys if I go to another concert as well. The concert that I have on my radar right now, and I got to figure out when they're getting into this area, is Foo Fighters. Sean Engel knows well that I always have Foo Fighters playing, coming in and out of breaks. One of my favorite bands of all time, and I just haven't seen them, so I need to get out there and see them. I had tickets. I had tickets to go see them. For some reason, it just avoided me. There was one time my friend was going to give me a ticket, and I already had a commitment somewhere. I was so bummed. I should have canceled that other thing because I don't remember now what it was, but I would have remembered going to that concert. Then there was another time I had tickets to go see them at Citi Field, and I bought them in advance, and then we found out that my daughter's due date was the same day of the concert.
Oh, wow.
And she was born on the day that I had tickets to the concert. So a friend of mine bought them off me, and he went and had a good time. But I obviously I wasn't mad about it because my daughter was born that day, but it still was like one of those things like, oh, I would love to be able to do both things. So
I love Hero by them. That's one of my favorite songs by
Great Jam. Great Jam.
Any other groups that let's say that you missed out on? Like, for instance, I'll give you one quick of mine. And I kind of regret few years back they got back together, the Police. You know, and I'm, like I said, I go from hard rock to you know, standards and stuff. But Police, man, amazing band, a 3-piece band, just the sound that they put together. And it had to be, I guess, now about at least 10, 15 years ago they got back.
That's a hard one, though, because they broke up so long ago and there's been a lot of animosity amongst them. So even that reunion was short lived. It would have been hard to get a ticket there. I'm sure it was expensive to get them. But I'll give you two. Number one, I had plans to go see them, and they broke up. And it was Soundgarden. So this is like 20 years ago, where my buddy had lined up tickets to go see them on tour, and it's when their relationship was fracturing a little bit. They broke up. It wasn't one of the more acrimonious breakups, so I think they always remained friendly, and they ultimately got back together for some reunion concerts, and I never saw them. But unfortunately, I never got a chance to see them or Chris Cornell before he passed, and he's somebody I always would have wanted to see. And the dumbest thing I ever did in the history of concerts was my friend had Nirvana tickets in 1992, and I was a freshman in college. Like most freshmen in college, I had no money, and I remember the ticket was $65. And that's when $65 was a lot of money. When you're broke,
that was 20 years
ago. When you're
ago,
a broke college freshman, $65 is a lot. And I didn't want to hit up my parents to give me $65 to go see this concert. And I sure wish I had, because I would have paid them back and done whatever I could to pay them back, but I just didn't do it. And I will say that I don't know that I was the biggest Nirvana fan at that moment, and maybe that contributed to me not wanting the $65, but I sure should have done it because he passed away 2 years later, and that was it. So that's one that'll stick with me that I regret. I regret not seeing both of those bands, but the Nirvana one, I really could have seen it. And I will see a Foo Fighters concert soon enough, so I know I'll do that. I'm focused on it. So anyway, so that's it. Good, a nice little concert segment.
We probably have
2 minutes. Probably have 2 minutes here. So I'll just talk about Manny Machado really quick because he made this ridiculous defensive play, backhanded stab. So I think that's part of the thing where, you know, us as baseball fans and us as fantasy analysts, we recognize, and I like to call it out, and I know it may not be fantasy relevant, but it just speaks to why he isn't just a DH, right? He's not just some hitter. He's an unbelievable defender. He could play short. He could play third. He's playing third right now and making ridiculous gold glove backhanded stabs and throwing people out at first. The pitcher, I have to see who it was last night, and he hit a home run last night. So, the pitcher last night for the Padres, let me get who it was. Was it Paddock?
I believe Paddock was a starter, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's who was in when he made that play. He was just laughing. He's smiling on the mound because of how ridiculous a play it was. And not only did he go into foul territory and make
that's
that
what
throw,
I was gonna mention.
He's a strike.
Yeah.
The first
he
baseman
was 3 feet
didn't have to move
into foul territory when he made that play. So, right. And I'm not the biggest Manny Machado fan, but you got a tippy cap to this guy. Why? Attitude. First of all, he made that dumb statement that I'm sure that his agent probably just wanted to choke him about. But just, he's got so much talent, but it's – unfortunately, it seems like he takes it for granted, you know. But that's just me, you know. I'm not a big fan in terms of his personality. You can't argue with the talent level, though. But you know,
I mean, he's a top 10 player in baseball, right?
Yes,
he could be. Absolutely. Even higher. So, I understood why people got upset last year during the playoffs and all that kind of stuff with the Dodgers.
Yeah,
but I chalked it up to just kind of a foolish act followed up by a foolish statement, and I wasn't going to paint the guy with a broad brush over a bad week. Do you know what I mean? Now, if you are of the opinion that Manny Machado sometimes dogs it out there, takes it for granted, I get it. I've just seen him produce and play hard at other times. We'll come back a little bit because there's other players out there like this too that I can compare him to. And overall, you have to be happy with their production. So it's Mike and Joe on FST. We'll be right back talking Manny Machado right after this.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
What is this?
He is Journey.
Yeah. Journey.
Right. Yeah.
So, I'm actually terrible at identifying songs. It's just not a talent of mine. I really stink at that. Even bands that I know well, if a song comes on, I always guess the wrong song. It's just one of those weird things. It's like a blind spot in my brain. I just can't get it. So like when I played piano, you know, some people can play piano by ear. I never would have been.
Right.
Like it just wasn't something that I could do. I would have to read the music and play it according to what it was. I was no prodigy at all.
When you think about it, you watch these guys play the piano with no music at all in front of them, you know, jumping around from song to song to song to song. It's amazing.
That you can do by rote. It's just a matter of practicing. So I could even conceivably remember songs that I played 30 years ago and play them because I played them hundreds of times. But, I couldn't like watch somebody play something and then figure it out how to play it. This is not something that I could do. So anyway, before we get started, don't look now, Joe, but NFL teams are focusing on the 2019 NFL draft, the first round on Thursday, April 25th. And for serious fantasy football players, it's never too early to start preparing for the 2019 season. So Roto Experts has you covered with their NFL 365 fantasy football package, including the best math-based seasonal projections and rankings available anywhere on the internet. So Davis Maddock and the Roto Experts are providing dynasty, season-long, betting, best ball, and NFL draft content every day of the year to give you an edge, regardless of what type of fantasy football you play. So save 10% at rotoexperts.com with promo code FNTSY. That's 10% off with promo code FNTSY. It's the NFL 365 fantasy football package only at rotoexperts.com. So really good stuff there from Davis Maddock. He's getting you prepared for the 2019 season. We'll be doing draft coverage, not just on this show, but on many shows across the Fantasy Sports Radio Network and on draft night. We're getting the band back together. It'll be myself, Spittin' Speeds, Dane Martinez, who you hear every morning on Make It Rain, and his show, Fantasy Freestyle, once a week, I believe, on Monday nights. So got that going. Going to bring in Emery Hunt, who's actually going to be on in the next hour. He'll be there live. He's somebody that studies a lot of college football players. He's a college football color commentator. He does a variety of different conferences there. So from that standpoint, we've got some pretty good coverage there. I think we'll be adding another person to that crew. Don't know who it is yet, but should be a good time. So looking forward to that. And please check out rotoexperts.com, promo code FNTSY. So we were talking about Manny Machado, and we won't get into a long discussion about it, but just to touch on it, I wasn't going to paint him with a broad brush over the week. Now, if you think historically in his career that he's been kind of jaking it or he's a little lazy, so be it. But he's been incredibly productive. I do think to some extent, Joe, and we got to see him up close here in New York a lot. You could have made the argument that Robbie Cano didn't always bust it, right?
Right.
He was never the guy running out ground balls. If he hit a grounder to second base, he was gonna jog it down to first. You weren't gonna see that. And there were times at which it was very frustrating because some people thought he might be lazy, and even I was like, "How can you not run that out?" You know, occasionally there's that scenario where a guy bobbles a ball, and if you'd run it out, maybe you would have been safe at first or something along those lines. And early in his career, his fluid way in which he fielded the ball at second looked a little nonchalant, and it created some errors early in his career, but he tightened that up, and he ended up being an incredible second baseman at times. Now, he also was a guy, Robbie Cano, that played almost every day. He never missed games. He didn't get hurt. Now, I know there was a suspension last year and all this other kind of stuff, but you couldn't really sit there and say he's lazy for not running out ground balls when he played 159 games plus every year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and some of, like, the way you described the way he was on the field with the, you know, the kind of nonchalant defensive style. Some had said that was just part of that he was so good that he didn't need to, you know, appear to be like, that basically his style of play was a result of him being as good as he was, whether or not you agree with that or not. But look, you know, that you wonder if maybe the things that you're talking about now in terms of him not running out ground balls or whatnot might have been what led the Yankees to let him go to the Mariners, or the fact that maybe he was asking for a longer contract than the Yankees were willing to give him. But look, you know, you can't argue with his talent either. I mean, I believe he's only batting just under 200 so far with the Mets. But look, I project him to have his batting average back up to close to the 300 mark as
he's
well.
He's so streaky. He can be so streaky, Cano. He was the type of guy that, in his salad days, he was going to hit like 450 for a month and carry the entire team. And I don't know if he still got those tools in his bag anymore. But to your point, I think he probably will get on some sort of streak to make his average more respectable. And obviously, he's still got some level of power. But the reason I brought him up was to make sort of that comparison where people view – at some point, people viewed him through a negative lens.
It's a good comparison.
But that changed, and I just wonder, Robbie Cano was at one point one of the best hitters in baseball, and Machado is obviously one of the most talented, and he's been rewarded as such financially. So I just wonder if long-term people will be like, you know what, every once in a while he does something that bothers you, but long haul, he's a player that you really want on your team.
And I'll compare him. It's a different sport. You know, let's say Machado, but sometimes you worry that, you know, look, there's no denying that we've said, you know, his production's been incredible, but you put him on a team with a lot of young players, and like with the Padres, you just hope that he could become a leader and that, some of that, we'll say, perceived, nonchalant, way of going about with the game doesn't trickle down and affect the young guys that are going to be coming up through that system. So it's almost like, like I said, it's a different sport, but OBJ and his effect on, let's say, a Sterling Shepard, when you see what one player could get away with and you're a young guy and, you emulate the superstar veteran. So, but, can't argue with Manny Machado's production, no doubt.
Yeah. All right, so injuries. There's a lot of them, despite it being early in the season. But we got a couple of guys. Mike Trout exited the game earlier this week. He hasn't been in the starting lineup yet. He's scheduled to be reevaluated today. So Mike Trout dealing with a right groin strain. You think this is you think he hits the IL to keep him healthy long term, or you think they were just being cautious here and he's going to come back? What are your thoughts there?
Initially, they had said that it was a mild strain. I think it was a groin, right? But they initially expected him to be ready to play last night, Friday. But now the latest reports I saw was that he might not be ready till Monday. It's almost like, look, if I have a player like Mike Trout, and I was lucky enough to get the first overall pick in one of my leagues, and I drafted him, of course. But if I'm the Angels, put him on the IL, let him get 100% healthy, and, you know, so, I mean, like, I don't think it's going to be a major long-term, you know, month-long issue, but you bring him back too soon, then it could turn into something like that.
Yeah, Alex Bregman not in the starting lineup again last night. He's expected to come back today. He's been dealing with right hamstring soreness. I just think early in the season, I think MLB has gotten smarter about it. You know, the old school mentality is like, ah, you got to tough it out, be out there every day. Now, I think most leagues looking at injury data understand, like, we're playing for the long haul here. Nobody's going to be Cal Ripken anymore and tough it out there to get out there every day. They're just going to protect guys, especially early in the season, so that this doesn't compound injuries over the course of the year.
Yeah, and the difference between, let's say, Bregman's injury and Trout's injury, you know, obviously Trout is the best player in baseball, but the Angels aren't really expected to win their division or go deep into the playoffs, but Astros have the World Series on their radar. So, like you kind of insinuated, get this guy Bregman healthy 100% because we're worried about the long-term pitcher here for the Astros.
Yeah, and I have Alex Bregman, so he's somebody that I desperately need to come back. He's hitting .341 on the season to start, so he's got a homer and a few RBIs, so I need Bregman back in the lineup. A couple other pitchers we'll talk about. Mike Foltynewicz may be back tomorrow. He was placed on the 10-day IL with elbow soreness, retroactive to the 21st. He had a couple of rehab starts in AAA, and it looks like he may come back tomorrow. So Mike Foltynewicz may be added to your fantasy rosters as of tomorrow.
Yeah, and the Braves could use him because, you know, for instance, Kyle Wright has had some kind of uneven starts so far this season. Max Fried pitched well the last time he was out. But, you know, Folty looked like he was ready to take that next step. Good strikeout pitcher. You know, that American League East, that NL East is super competitive, and every game is important. So,
so
getting
funny.
Folty back there. Yeah.
It's so funny that the NL East is now like the division in baseball that people watch. It was like 3 years ago when people were like, God, this division stinks. How are the Mets winning? How are they getting to the World Series? It's like, God, division isn't very good. And now you don't want to play the Phillies and the Braves. You know what
I mean? Right. And don't forget the Nationals. I mean,
I know.
A couple of years ago, like you said, the Nationals basically were just expected to cruise through and just, you know, make the playoffs by default. But you're right. Pretty much the best division in baseball right now.
It's certainly the deepest. So, and then Chris Sale had a start pushback. I think they're pushing back his start from Monday to Tuesday. So just giving him an extra day of rest. Obviously, there's been concern about velocity. It was up at times in his last start, but still concerns about Chris Sale. How concerned are you? I mean, I am sort of holding my breath right now because he was my first-round draft pick, and if Sale can't be Sale, I'm in big trouble unless Germán Márquez can really carry my team. But what are your thoughts about Sale? How concerned are you on a scale of, say, 1 to 10?
I'd say probably around a 6.5. I mean, Sale's just...
That's probably where I'm at.
Yeah, it's a strange thing because, you know, the Red Sox talked about, you know, his velocity... the problems with his velocity is due to them wanting him to not blow out his arm. You know, they need him for the full season, right? So they're asking him to kind of not be as explosive as he can be, which is a kind of an odd thing to say, and it could be a total lie. But I've heard it also said, like, in previous years as well, you know, from Sale himself. And then there were stories about, well, you know, he had an illness. I don't know, were they saying it was the flu or something? He had some kind of illness. illness that might have been affecting him. So, I mean, look, let's see what happens. Again, he didn't pitch much in spring. Again, we have to have a little faith in the Red Sox and hoping that they did their due diligence before they gave him that big-time contract extension. But, look, it's a situation that definitely needs to be monitored.
Yeah, so ironically, I'll get selfish and talk about my team.
Sure.
You know, it's really been helping me out. Tyler Glasnow.
Oh,
is killing it.
Yeah, he's been amazing. Yeah.
It's just been unbelievable. Yeah. It's the guy. Yeah. He's one of the guys that can really, really help me a lot. He's thrown, let's see, he's 3-0. His ERA is 0.53. In his 17 innings pitched, he's got 21 Ks. So he was a late draft pick, too. I was just looking for starters late in the draft, and I want to say, what did we have, a 24-round draft? Now, I want to say he was high teens to maybe 20s, maybe like the 20th round. I got Tyler Glasnow. You know, my starting staff is Sale, Marquez, Hendricks, Glasnow, and I have a lot of relievers, so that's it. But a guy like Glasnow is the type of guy that can really help a team. You know, I don't expect it to happen for the entirety of the year, but he is somebody that was seen early in his career to have a ton of talent. Maybe he didn't get to where they wanted him in Pittsburgh, but in Tampa he's found a new home, and maybe he's gonna be there, the opener that they want. He's going to be the new Blake Snell, maybe.
Yeah, Tampa is amazing when it comes to their pitching staff. I was looking at their numbers the other day. Prior to yesterday's game, I think their starting rotation had an ERA of 1.61. And you mentioned Glasnow, one of the better prospects coming out of the Pirates organization, made some tweaks to his delivery in spring training, saw an uptick in his velocity as well. Look, he's incredibly good so far, has 100% strand rate. So once that corrects a little bit, I mean, his numbers are going to come up, but no doubt that for where you got him in the draft, absolutely tremendous value.
Yeah, and I think, go ahead.
I was going to say, and they got the Rays got him in the trade where they sent Archer to the Pirates. They also got Austin Meadows, and look what Austin Meadows has been doing as well.
That's right. That's right. So Tampa's been really good about managing talent for really the last 10 years or so. They just got smart. You know, they were doing a lot of stupid things early in the franchise's history, but really in the last 10 years they've figured out a good way to acquire talent cheaply because they don't have obviously the revenue potential that some of these other teams have. And now the way you have to approach it is, who knows, he, like you said, he may blow up by Memorial Day, but to get my 5 good starts out of him, that's really how you end up piecing this together, right? And
yeah.
Then I got to find somebody else on the waiver wire to piece 5 more starts together. They're not all going to be wins, and you cut guys, and guys will fall apart, and, you're looking at certain guys like, man, I don't know if this is going to work out at shortstop for me, but, I'm using Tyler Glasnow and Ryan Healy right now, and I'm riding the wave.
Absolutely,
I mean, so I'll just ride the wave as long as I can. I told you I did that with some closers, too, so Shane Green has already got 8 saves, so I'm feeling pretty good about it. So we'll come back. Hour one went pretty quick. We'll turn it over to football next on FSD. It's Mike and Joe. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.